Well, it is Tuesday, March the 19th, so it is time for Campus Connection. There are school district officials in the studio with me to talk about what's happening at the school board meeting tonight. In the studio, I have Superintendent Erica Kupainter, Board President Marla Tomsky, and Board Vice President Sarah Holmgren. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Of course, tonight is a regular meeting. It starts at 6 o'clock in the middle and high school library. And it would be great if we could just take a look at the agenda a little bit and talk about what's going to be covered at the meeting. Of course, part of that will be more budget talk. That's something that's been in the news a lot. And as most people know, there are large cuts proposed at the state level, which would equal about $1.43 million for the school district if the governor's proposal was carried out. What's the latest on that?
So the House Subfinance Education Committee is working on their closeout. We had heard that the House would try to wrap up their version of the budget by March 22nd. It looks like they're on track to do that. And the Education Subcommittee, or the Finance Education Subcommittee, they are starting their closeout process, and how they did that was they didn't start from the governor's FY20 proposed amended budget. They started from fiscal year 19 minus one-time funding, so minus the $30 million that would have been one-time funded that had been passed by the previous legislature, and worked from there. And then so they picked up each item in committee and allowed for it to be moved forward or for it to die without a motion. And none of Governor Dunleavy's proposed cuts, now this is just for the Department of Education, it's outside of the formula. So when we're talking about the formula, it would have been things like the pre-K funding and the Council on the Arts, etc. Those cuts, none of them were picked up. So none of Governor Dunleavy's proposed cuts for those departments within the education agency will, it's looking like they won't be moved forward in the House budget version. Now, of course, that'll get sent over to the Senate, and the Senate will do their own version of it, and they'll have to come together and find some middle ground if there are differences. So while we haven't seen the formula funding, we do know that that was passed last year as flat funding. And so they don't technically even have to pass any legislation for education for the formula to be funded this year. It's very confusing, but what it's looking like is that the House will probably pass an education budget that looks very much like the fiscal year that we're in right now, FY19. So that's all great and promising things coming out of the House, and then we just have to see what happens with the Senate.
Okay, so it kind of sounds like a little glimmer of hope for the local budget, too.
I think, well, at least if the House version, I mean, what they're doing, I think is certainly more of a positive direction, where it will go when it hits the Senate, and then where it will go once it's bounced, you know, bounced back to the governor, what that will look like. I think the other thing that is challenging on the local level is that many of the, you know, so like Mara's referring specifically to things that are referring to the Department of Education and our world, but the other thing that's is also impacting us indirectly but very directly is what happens to our borough. And so the things that are passed down to them, whether it's through the fish tax, whether it's through the school bond debt reimbursement, which there was testimony
this morning
on that as well, because the governor has proposed for that program to end. That's the where the state would you do a percentage. They do 60%, we do 40%, and we work through our municipalities for that kind of funding. So that's like the food service renovation project or the siding project at the elementary school previously. That is clearly a direct impact to us, another impact. And so those things filter down to us, you know, because the borough has to take up all of those same sorts of hits that they're getting and factor them into, you know, what they do for the local school district. So it's challenging.
Because the school district gets $1.8 million from the borough, and that's been the amount for the last several years?
It's been the amount since 2001. That's
wow.
Since
okay.
I've been here, 2001.
Okay, so that's pretty consistent revenue that you probably count on.
It is, yes. And that's been a big conversation that we've had a lot over the years is, you know, that, of course, they and the borough doesn't fund to the cap here. They could, there's a higher level they could fund to. They don't fund at the minimum either, but they're kind of in the middle there. And so the consistency has been really important. I think it will certainly be a conversation moving forward these next few years, you know, if the state continues to, you know, hand issues and financial burdens back on the local communities. It will be a larger conversation for our whole community, not just the school and not just the borough, but for all of us.
Yeah, since the last school board meeting and since the governor's budget came out, that was about a month ago, the school district has had meetings with staff and mm-hmm. then also a community meeting so you could communicate with community members about, you know, the situation. Mm-hmm. Have you learned anything else since those meetings? You know, what have you heard from the community and what are you telling staff at this point, a month in?
Right. So it's very, I will say it's been very stressful. It's been stressful, and I really feel badly about that for our staff members because we're still teaching, you know, and we still have kids in our classrooms in front of us, and there's sort of this big kind of unknown out here that's weighing on a lot of people. It's weighing on people in our community. It's weighing on parents. It's weighing on our staff members. And as much as we're trying to, we being administrators and we being school board members or that sort of thing, trying to keep that stress out of the classroom as much as possible, it's inescapable, you know, just because we are talking about people's jobs and people's lives potentially with such a large proposed reduction, it ends up coming to the conversation about staffing and programs. And all of those things are very, very difficult to talk about because we are very committed to providing this well-rounded, rich environment for our students. And also, and that's come from these amazing teachers and staff members who are in our district providing that and working so hard to do that. So it weighs on everybody. And that's the part that I think is really, really unfortunate because we were so excited about that last spring when they forward funded us for 2 years. That's how we left last spring thinking, finally, we are going to have a whole year and a half of, you know, not spending our whole spring worrying about this when we have other more important things we'd like to be doing with our kids and focusing on teaching, you know, and learning. So that's been really disheartening. Our staff is doing great. They're hanging in there. They're having lots of ideas about they're coming up with lots of ideas of things like, well, could we try this? Could we do this? Could we, you know, we've had some retirements. Could we think about ways to be really creative within our current staffing? Also wanting to retain our staff that we currently have. That's also been a very important conversation with staff currently in our district. They want to see, you know, our teachers who are here. They want them to stay, you know, and our new teachers too. We've hired some great new teachers. So trying to be as creative and thinking outside the box as they can with like moving Ms. Kahn from special education position to a principal job, that's a position. So we need to talk about the best way to fill that position and whether we need to go out to hire, whether we need to look at current staff in the district, are there ways to move people around in ways that could help with that? They're big jobs. The jobs that are open are big jobs. Science job, special education job, library media job in the elementary school. Those are big jobs. So, you know, it's not just simple, I guess. It's not just simple to try to figure out how to maintain those positions and provide that support to our students that they really need and deserve.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of along the lines of budget, I guess, looks like the elementary school needs a new fire alarm system.
It does. Yes.
Like $40,000 system.
$40,000 system. And those are the things that I think we've talked about this before. It's always those hard things. You know, there are costs with everything, right? You know, and so the business of life goes on and requirements are still there and regulations are still there and we still need to keep our kids safe. So that is one of the things that's been on the the list for a couple of years, and it is time to do it. So we put those before the board because they are capital projects. So that's why it's coming forward.
Put aside a long time, to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the elementary school had a renovation about 5 years ago or so, and that was not part of it?
Mm-mm.
The fire alarm system?
Mm-mm. Nope. At that point, the panel itself was not the system. That is separate. That's a separate installation from that renovation project. So the system itself, the wiring and all the things for the individual classrooms and that sort of thing are all good. That's all, fine. But it's the actual management panel. It's so outdated that it doesn't speak well to the systems in the local community. If it fails the way they finally described it to us, if it truly, truly fails, what you have to do then is you actually have to hire somebody to come in to your district and have a 24-hour fire watch. That's what you have to do. I didn't know that. Learned that this year. So, which makes sense. I mean, you have to either have a monitor and you've got to have a system that works, or you have to have somebody that's their job to make sure that they are paying attention if there's a problem or the alarms are going off or whatever. So it's safe, it's functional, but it's right on the line. And so if it happens, we would have to hire somebody to come in and stand fire watch, which I didn't know was a thing.
That's probably what they used to do before.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, exactly.
People watching for fires.
Exactly.
Well, and I think, it's a big chunk of change, but it's also been money that's been set aside in our capital that we can't transfer back into operating and use next year to fund
people,
which is frustrating. Let's say if we could put this off for 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's hard sometimes when I'm even talking to the public there, or individual people have asked, well, can't you just do that? And it's like, no. And then you get dollars for a certain department. You cannot go use it somewhere else because you need it somewhere else. It's tied. So much of our money is tied. And this is another example of mm-hmm. money that was moved into capital that has to be used for a capital project. So let's pick something that needs addressing now versus 6 or 7 years from now or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's important to know. You can't just move money around.
No, it would be nice if we could move it back and the panel could wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the other thing, too, is just as we are moving forward with thinking about budget revisions and planning for even a budget next year, still continuing to work on how and when to move forward with contracts for all of our staff, and thinking about rehiring or posting or not rehiring or posting, that sort of thing. It's been difficult. And then we're really looking at as many things as we can possibly prepay. We always do that, but we're really looking at that. So if they're, garnering as much of our remaining funds this spring as we can to put towards whether it's health insurance, whatever things we can do. It's a little bit, there are a lot of regulations around that too, what you can and can't do with that. So, but that's our goal moving forward as we bring a budget, before the board. And it's going to be really challenging because we're going to end up making decisions about hiring and about creating a budget when we know the budget will not be finalized at the state level until the summer. We know that.
Yeah. The summer.
Yeah.
Okay, so a few other things for tonight. Looks like there's an official vote officially recognizing that Heather Kahn is the new principal
mm-hmm.
of the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's changed with that. She'll still take over after the school year.
We certainly would like that to happen, yes.
Okay.
Although, right. I guess there's that too.
That it being Heather, she's already starting to work towards it. So I'm sure she'll be busy all summer.
Yeah.
And then there's a presentation tonight, too, from high school students who traveled to mm-hmm. Sitka, I believe, for Mount Edgecombe's Founders Day celebration.
Yes, Elizabeth Bradovich Day activities. And they actually combined this year, they really jam-packed it. It was incredible. They went through Juneau. They actually did a short tour at UAS, thinking about career and potentially college planning for kids. They had a good section of time at the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute this year and participated in their the displays that they have there, and actually got to go downstairs and see some of the artifacts that are kind of off limits. Got to have a tour there, so that was really exciting. And then went to Edgecombe and got to participate in the activities there, so they are very pumped
All right.
Excited for
we'll hear more about that during the meeting. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think people might want to know about regarding the agenda tonight?
I don't think so. Maybe just we want to always keep encouraging people to just be really paying attention. If I mean, we joke about watching Gavel to Gavel, Mara. I mean, a few of us watch it a lot. But I do think it's important to stay engaged. I really would encourage people to stay engaged. Don't get overwhelmed, but stop in the LIO. We keep saying that, but just to even get a... I mean, they do such a great job there, too, of just giving snippets of information, helping you through the process. If you have a thought and you do want to submit something, but you're nervous about it, you know, they're really helpful. Mara's good at it. Sarah's... I mean, you know, it. I think it's just taking that initial step. If you have an opinion about something and you want to make your voice known with our legislature, it is there's a lot of opportunities to do it. So mm-hmm. I would just encourage... I don't know if Mara wants to say anything else there, but...
Yeah. There will be, you know, times coming up in the near future that they'll be taking testimony. It has been historically high numbers that have been people have been testifying. I mean, the Alaska Marine Highway had a public testimony, not even on an actual bill. So it was almost odd that they were taking public testimony on the fact that there's a proposed cut. So generally, there's only public testimony on an actual bill that's going to be passed. So it was great of Representative Stutes to take that testimony, and they had record numbers. I mean, more than mm-hmm. 300 people signed up to talk, and she was only allowing them, you know, 1 minute just to kind of encapture everything that they feel about the importance of the Alaska Marine Highway. So I would expect that there's a lot of people engaged at this point. So, you know, testimony might get cut off. So really kind of whittle down your testimony to be concise, you know, just exactly what you believe and your points. And I don't even know that you need a long litany of whys you believe those things, but, you know, just concisely and to the point. And they're receiving record numbers of written testimony, too. So we can't, I mean, we would like them, of course, to read every piece of mail that comes in, but unfortunately, there's probably not enough time in the day for them to do that. So even keeping your written testimony concise as well, and even if you just want to put it all in the subject line, you know, at least they probably see that in their inbox is you know, subject after subject of oppose or oppose or oppose or support. So even that is just helpful. But the House Finance Committee is going to be touring around the state taking public testimony in different locations. That's a new thing that doesn't really ever happen. It's outside of each individual's, like, if they go home to their district and have just an open house, it's different than that. It's committee members traveling to different communities to hear other communities, and it will be on the record public testimony, not just informal town halls. So, you know, that'll be happening starting on the 22nd. They'll be kicking off. Unfortunately, they won't be, I don't know that there's really any there is one in Juneau happening on the 22nd, but I know they're hitting a lot of the big city centers up in the north to talk about that. So there's lots of opportunities to get your voice out there, and don't feel that you're not smart enough to talk about the subject, or you're not well-spoken enough, or you don't know the laws or the rules enough to speak up. You know, stay engaged. Nobody knows about your own life and how these budget cuts would affect your life than you do. So it's best that you speak up for mm-hmm. yourself, be respectful, and you know, think about others and in their situations, and you know, speak up.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Thank you
so much for joining us today for Campus Connection, and we will see you tonight at the school board meeting.
Sounds good.
That is 6 o'clock in the middle and high school library. The meeting is open to the public, so you can go there yourself, or you can tune in to KFSK as we will be broadcasting the meeting live. And stay with us. Street Beat is coming up next.